There we are.
Oh, that's lovely, lovely, isn't it?
It's been a good day, isn't it, Nan?
Oh, sweetheart, it's been the best.
Oh. Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers.
Lovely stuff.
Hello!
Well, we're not.
We're not recording now. Well, we are recording, but you know. Carry on.
Okay. Hello and well. No.
Right. Come on.
Give me a couple of seconds.
Come on. You can do better than that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 5 for Watch With Mothers. Today I'm here with Napoleon. Are you there, Napoleon?
I'm here. Hello.
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 And we're going to be talking about the Friday question, which I set last Friday, which was regarding kind of a TV utopia.
It was.
Yeah, it was about...
I read about that.
Sorry?
I read that.
Yeah, did you take part in that at all?
I did take part in it a little bit. I mean, I had some work to do, but in the end, it was quite easy to do the work because I submitted a comic strip full of stick men.
Did you? And you got paid for that?
I got paid for that, yes. That's all it is, stick men.
You live quite an easy life, really.
I do, really, yeah. I mean, I'm basically a sloth.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Fucking hell!
So it was about a TV utopia.
Right.
Basically, your ideal TV woman, where you'd like to live in TV land with your ideal TV woman, who you'd kill in this TV utopia, all that sort of thing.
You didn't mention who you'd kill.
What, me personally?
No, yeah. When you sent me an email about this podcast today, you didn't say who I'd kill. I'm now having to write down who I would kill.
No, don't bother, because we're doing it in two parts, aren't we?
Are we?
Yeah, we're going to do the second part tomorrow.
Oh, right, okay, then, right, so let me just cross that out. Hold on. There we are,
we can do it today if you want, I don't mind.
No, I've crossed it out now.
Right, that means it's completely invalid.
Yeah, it's off the agenda. Okay. That'll have to be for tomorrow now. Sorry about that, but I've crossed it out.
Just so you know,
I don't make the rules.
Okay, just so you know, listeners, we're going for the most inept podcast we've ever done today.
Hello!
And I think we've started off quite well.
We've done quite well, I think, so far, yeah.
Okay, first topic was... We're going to talk about...
Unlistenable to drivel.
Yeah.
That's what we're aiming for. So who are we doing then? Ideal TV women?
Well, just your ideal TV partner. I mean, if you want, right. You can role play and say who your ideal TV man would be.
Well,
say Christian off EastEnders?
Yeah, what? Yeah, he'll do.
He's a strapping lad.
Yeah, I'll go for him. Fair enough. Right, that's that out of the way. So now then, I've written down... Should we do these in... How many have you written down?
I've only done 3, but one of the 3 is technically 2.
Right, well, I've done 4, but I've crossed one of them out.
Right.
I've crossed out Dame Thora Hurd. Only because she's dead. You know, I wrote her down and I thought, oh no, she's dead.
Yeah, so, but if you watch a rerun, a repeat of Last of Some Wine, she's alive. So,
she is alive. This
crosses no boundaries. Mortality means nothing.
Again, I have crossed it out.
Right, so it's off the agenda.
It's off the agenda, I'm afraid. So I'll move to item 2, which is Colleen Nolan, MILFtastic. What is wrong with Colleen Nolan?
Well, I'm determined not to evaluate people on their looks in this segment, but looks aside, her voice, mannerisms, attitude, intelligence level, all kind of are a bit of a turn-off for me.
Right, and what about her udders?
I've never seen them unshackled.
Haven't you? Well, no, I haven't either, to be honest, but they have got rather larger than they were in the 1970s.
Also, she's the ex of Shane Ritchie.
Is she?
Yeah. Did you not know that's how she's famous?
I didn't. What, Alfie Moon? No,
yeah,
she's
Alfie
famous.
Moon.
She's famous for being in the Nolans.
Well, yeah, that's lots of people won't remember that. Latterly, she was in the tabloids because Shane Ritchie was a bit of a love rat, in inverted commas.
Was he?
Yeah, he had cheated on Colleen.
What was his name? There was a big love rat that was around for a while. Went out with a girl in Hearsay. Do you remember them? They were rubbish.
Darren Day.
That's it. Yeah, he was a love rat. And the thing was, he was in the newspapers as a love rat, even though I don't think anybody had heard of him before. He just turned up as a famous celebrity love rat and then disappeared.
Well, he was vaguely famous for doing a musical dressed as Cliff Richard, I think.
Was it? What? What, Wired for Sound?
Well, that's just a single. I think it was a summer holiday. It must have been.
Oh, so there's not a musical called Wired for Sound?
I don't know. I think that's only a song.
There should be.
Yeah, well, we could write it if you want.
I'd happily write a Cliff Richard musical because Cliff Richard's brilliant.
That was when he lost the quiff and had the shades, isn't it?
He had the shades. He was in, I think he was in a yellow T-shirt. He was on roller skates.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. He had gigantic glasses. I don't think there were shades. No, there might have been glasses, but tinted glasses.
Yeah, like dinner ladies were.
He had Cliff 70s hair. And yeah. as he suggested in the song, he was wired for sound. Fucking love that song.
Does that mean he's got headphones in Wired for Sound?
There is a bit where he's there on headphones, I think. Unless I'm thinking of the Young Ones single. I can't remember now.
Well, what were we talking about?
We were talking about Colleen Nolan.
Yeah, she was with Shane Ritchie. Shane Ritchie. And he was a love rat in the mould of Will Carling.
Right.
So, yeah, now you know who she's been with. Don't you do a background check on your fictional make-believe ex-girlfriends?
No, not usually, because usually I don't expect this kind of treatment of my fictional women that I like. You know, you've broken her down in my eyes. You know, I now just see her as Shane Ritchie's used goods.
Yeah,
I'm crossing her off my list.
Like a used Ritchie tissue.
Yeah, she's been crossed off. Thanks a lot for that.
Off the agenda.
That's one fantasy ruined.
Well, weirdly, that ties in with one of mine.
Okay, go on.
Well, you've got Colleen Nolan, who went with Shane Ritchie, who was Alfie Moon, whose grandma was Nana Moon.
Nana Moon? What, you fancied Nana Moon?
Well, back in the day when she was in Citizen Smith.
Remember? Oh, that's right. Wasn't she Alfie's mother?
Well, not Alfie. She was
Wolfie,
I think she was
rather.
Like,
Wolfie.
Yeah, Wolfie's surrogate mother. Was it Wolfie or Foxy?
It was Wolfie. Wolfie Smith.
Because I remember her saying, "Oh, Foxy."
Wolfie.
Well, if it's Wolfie, it doesn't really matter.
It is Wolfie. The other interesting fact about Citizen Smith is his dad changed halfway through. Because originally his dad was Grouty off Porridge. But really? Then he left, yeah, and they got in a bloke that looked almost identical to him.
Right.
That's a genuine fact, unless it was the other way round.
He'd be an imposing father figure.
He would, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's actually still alive, isn't he?
Well, actually, he'd be knocking on a bit, because he was in his 60s in Porridge, wasn't he? 50s or 60s?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm sure, I think the last thing, I mean, he was in Remains of the Day, do you remember that?
I haven't seen that. That's far too highbrow, isn't it?
What, Remains of the Day? It's brilliant. It really is. No, it's honestly an excellent film. It's, you know, just a really stuffy man failing to tell a woman that he loves her.
Is it Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
He's
got a stick wedged up his arse throughout the entire thing. And Emma, you know, he clearly loves Emma Thompson quite a lot, but he doesn't tell her. And that's how it finishes.
Right.
Sorry, I've just ruined the ending for everybody. But, yeah, the whole film is him, well, sort of not getting on with her very well and actually liking her quite a lot. And then she goes and gets married to somebody else and that's it.
And they don't do anything about it?
They don't do fuck all about it, no. Nothing happens.
Sounds not very satisfying.
Yeah, there's a good bit in it where they have an argument over a Chinaman.
Right, well, every film needs that, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's not racist. It's what do you call it, a porcelain thing of a Chinaman, and she's moved it, he's not happy. No, he's moved it, she's not happy about it. Then she moves it back, and then he's not happy about it. It goes on for a while anyway.
Sounds
it's probably
good.
The highlight of the film.
Sounds really good.
It is, anyway. Yeah. I'd recommend it to anybody. What were we on about? Oh, yeah, Your Woman.
Yeah.
So you top Nana Moon.
No, not as Nana Moon. She's too old, obviously. I'm not being perverted. I just think she was really tender towards Wolfie, and they weren't blood relations, so really Wolfie could have done something about that.
Sorry about that.
You've got windy pops.
I've got wind today, I'm afraid, yes. I'm belching quite a lot. Oh, hello. That's the missus dropping the ashtray all over the floor.
We're doing well on the inept podcast states today.
Yeah, we are. No, it's all right. This will all knit together perfectly. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it'll
knit together perfectly. I mean, what do you really... Are you that bothered? You know, I mean, if somebody could put... Oh, that was dreadful. That was all drivel. I know what we'll do. We'll lighten the mood. Shall I sing you a song that I've invented?
If you must.
Yes, it's called the Inland Revenue Song. Here we go. Oh, I've got nothing but resentment for having to do self-assessment. I really want to be on PAYE. What do you reckon?
Is that it? It's four lines.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be long, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't have to be an epic.
Well, I think it's actually, you know, quite searing against the Inland Revenue.
Do you want me to put some musical backing on that when we put it out?
You can do. That'd be nice.
All right, I'll do that.
All right. Well, yeah, you shove some music on that, and that'll keep people entertained, won't it?
Yeah, it'll make it worth the price of entrance alone, that.
Exactly. The Inland Revenue Song.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mugs. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mugs.
What is your third then?
Right, the third, I've written down here, the mindless robotic Uber Fraulein, Kate from The Apprentice.
That's weird, because I've put Yasmina.
You put Yasmina, have you? She looks like Jaws off of Moonraker.
She doesn't, though.
She does, though. She's got Jaws's face. If she had Jaws's teeth, she would be Jaws from Moonraker.
She's more attractive than Kate was.
She's not more attractive than Kate, because Kate's got blonde hair and is more attractive.
Well, Alan Sugar knows about these things, and he chose Yasmina.
Yeah, he might have chosen Yasmina, but I think he was probably doing Kate in the toilets.
No, he wasn't.
Is that libelous?
That's a spurious thing to say.
Spurious?
I'm not even sure what that...
I'm sure that... Sorry about that. Sorry, I just threw away... threw something at the missus, and it didn't hit her. But, have you got some more of these? Sorry about this. I'm just interrupting it. Something's gone tits up here. Right,
just
anyway.
Just to remind you, listeners, you're listening to the most inept podcast in the history of Watch With Mothers.
Right, now then, yeah. So, anyway, I think that what happens is Sugar gets his way with all the attractive blonde females on the show. And obviously this year, to show that he wasn't biased, he gave the other one the job.
But the other one was prettier.
Yeah, the other one wasn't prettier, though.
She was.
She wasn't. For a start off, she wasn't prettier, and for another thing, she wasn't mindlessly robotic, which made Kate more exotic.
So you like the idea of robotic women?
Yeah, a lot like the ones in Westworld. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but the only one that sticks in the mind is Yul Brynner, and he's not a woman.
Yeah, but no, you don't want to shag Yul Brynner. All those cowboy whores.
Yeah.
Not boys, obviously. Cowgirl, whore. No, they weren't even cowgirls, were they? Whores in the old days.
Yeah, but you can't equate Kate with cowboy whores.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. It just seems a bit wrong.
I mean, she's sort of like an automaton, isn't she?
Yeah, I suppose she is.
Yeah, so she's exactly like one of those. Or I said that on the site, actually. Like a Stepford Wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that film.
It's got... some man from the 70s who was in loads of 70s films and some woman from the 70s. And, yeah, it's all right.
Good. Sounds good. So I win that one. I win that one with Yasmina.
No, you don't win that one. Hold on. So, back up. You don't win that. You put no argument forward to why Yasmina's better. You just said, oh, she's more attractive. She's not. She looks like Jaws off of Moonraker.
Yeah, so I've got 0 points, and you've got minus points for equating Kate with a robotic whore.
Yeah, well, it's like some sort of hideous Frankenstein creation. That's exotic.
It's better than a cowboy whore.
What, a cowboy whore? What's wrong with that?
I don't actually agree with that.
Why? What do you think she's like, then?
I just think she's dull, you know, and she's not really got much personality.
But she's got an interesting mouth.
That's true.
Yeah, so there you go. That must be a point to me, which means I win.
But then if Yasmina looks like Jaws out of Moonraker, then she's also got an interesting mouth.
No, because she hasn't got Jaws' teeth. She's got Jaws' jaw.
Right, hang on, my headphones are falling off.
Are they?
Hang on. Oh,
you're
better.
Listening to Watch With Mother.
Oh. Watch With Mother. Watch With Mother. No. Yes.
Watch with Mum.
Watch with Mothers. Yes, I will watch with Mothers.
Right, another one I've got here.
Right, go on.
These are sort of one and the same, but mm-hmm. they're all so different. Little Mo and Honey out of EastEnders.
Little Mo and Honey out of EastEnders.
In that they're so stupid that they're easily manipulated, i.e. they're the ideal woman.
So you'd get them, you like women who you can manipulate?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
In this TV fictional utopia.
Right.
Then it would just be handy. You could, you know, I don't know.
Well, I like women with awful personalities.
So, who's your fourth or fifth, whichever we're on?
The fourth, my last one is Joan Collins as Alexis Carrington and not as the character who was buried alive in A Tales from the Unexpected.
Who's this Carrington then? Is that the bitch?
Well, Alexis Carrington, she was the bitch. No, she was. It's not out of the bitch, it was out of Dynasty. Do you remember Dynasty?
Do I remember the Dynasty?
Do you remember Dynasty?
I don't. I think I was actually. It was on at about 9 o'clock, and I was actually too young to watch it at the time and stay up and watch it.
You will have been then, yeah. Well, what happened in Dynasty was there was a load of very rich people, and the main rich person was married to Linda Evans, who I think was in a reality TV show quite recently, wasn't she?
She won, yeah. She won Hell's Kitchen.
Right. Well, he was married to her, but he'd previously been married to Joan Collins. And now Collins was married to somebody called Dex, who looked like a Playmobil character. But she was forever interfering in the main character's life, and she had a big fight with Linda Evans and all that. And the thing was, she was in the 80s, so she was massively done up in the 80s glamorous style, really enormous hair, shoulder pads, all that kind of thing.
Whereas, she liked that.
Well, yeah, it's all right, yeah. I mean, no. Well, if I'm honest, no. But I don't know. There's just something about her. She was a right fucking horrible piece of work, but she was all right, you know. And I think it was my, you know, that young age. I was quite impressionable to that sort of thing, and I quite liked her. Though probably now I don't think I would do. I think she's a bit rangy, actually, isn't she?
I don't know. Last time she was on TV was, I think, Graham Norton, and she's knocking on a bit.
Well, she's knocking on, and the thing is, people bang on about how glamorous. Oh, isn't she glamorous and gorgeous and shit like that? Yeah, she's not. She's an old woman.
Well, old women can be glamorous, can't they?
Like who? Anne Widdecombe.
Nana Moon?
Yeah, she wasn't glamorous, though, was she?
There must be a glamorous old woman. Barbara Cartland?
Barbara Cartland's not glamorous. Shirley Williams? No. Margaret Thatcher?
What about that one who was pussy galore?
Honor Blackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she's not, do you remember The Upper Hand?
Yeah, I quite like that, actually.
Oh, well, I mean, you're not going to like what I've got to say about that later.
I'm suitably embarrassed about liking it.
Don't be too bad. My mother went to see it recorded.
Oh, God.
To my eternal shame. I couldn't believe it.
Do you remember the little kids on that?
Eh?
The little kids on The Upper Hand.
I don't remember. No, I was too busy goggling in horror at the blonde woman and one of the McGanns.
Gobbling? That's a strange thing to have been doing.
Did I say gobbling?
Yeah, you were gobbling in horror.
Oh, sorry, I was goggling in horror, not gobbling. I wasn't there stuffing my face with chips with a frightened look on my face. Which, actually, that probably would have made The Upper Hand better. Anyway, I wanted to talk about The Upper Hand later. I don't know how we've... Well, I got onto it, didn't I? But...
Well, I wanted to talk about porridge later, so...
Oh, right, well, we can still talk about porridge, obviously. Right. That's quite weird, actually. So we've got two crossover things already, independently. Well, that's not bad. Well, who have you got as a woman, then?
I think I've run out.
You've run out of women. Right, so we move on to a different subject now, don't we?
Yeah, we can do.
Right. Right, yeah, so here we go. The next one is the ideal TV living locations.
Yeah, I imagine yours would be the Yorkshire Dales, as in Last of the Summer Wine.
I have indeed written Last of the Summer Wine Country.
What a surprise.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to live there, and I would like to make friends with the proper cast of Last of the Summer Wine. Not these fly-by-night youngsters have got in nowadays. I'm talking Clegg, Foggy and Compo.
Well, I haven't watched it in a very long time. So the last people I can remember are Barraclough out of Porridge.
Yeah, that was Foggy.
Well, Peter Salis.
Clegg.
And Compo, obviously.
And Compo, obviously, who nobody knows his real name because he is just Compo. Or was, sadly.
But when Mr. Barraclough died, they brought in the bloke from All Creatures Great and Small, didn't they?
No, he didn't die. He didn't die. He left the show and he went on to do, some fucking awful sitcom about Neighbourhood Watch. He only died last year.
Oh, right.
But anyway, they brought in a bloke who played a character called Seymour. And he was some sort of white... No, I'll tell you who he was. He was Thora Heard's brother in the show.
Okay.
And that's how Thora Heard was introduced as, you know, as his sister.
And Thora Heard was quite an annoying character, I remember.
Well, she was obsessed with, what's his name, Wesley, you know, in his dirty boots.
And it's like all the women in Last of Summer Wine, she told everyone off about everything.
Yeah, that's right. And they used to have the gossip sessions round her house with all the cups of tea being lifted in unison and all that sort of stuff. That was good.
And
but you've not watched it in a while.
Her son-in-law was always getting told off.
Barry. Yeah. Do you remember the episode where it was Barry's wedding?
I don't remember because I probably didn't see it.
It was a work of art. It was an hour long. And it was all about Barry getting married, yeah? And the best thing about it was, you know the theme tune at the beginning?
Yes.
Right? Well, on this special occasion, they had a song that went with it. It went, "The Last of the Summer Wine," like that.
Well, I remember when you were maybe 15, 16, you made up some lyrics to that song.
Did I? How did they go?
Well, it went something a little like this. I'm really feeling fine, pissed out me head on fucking wine. I've shagged every lass in fucking pub, and I've shagged the pub as well. You don't remember that?
No, did I write that?
You did, yeah. I've got it written down on a piece of paper where you actually wrote down the lyrics before you sang it into a tape recorder.
Well, fuck me, I didn't even know. But I do remember some of the songs I did, but I don't remember that one.
I'll dig it out on C90.
Oh, right. Oh, well, that is nice. Well, I bet everybody enjoyed that.
Well, why would you want to live there when the women are just picky gossips and the men just roll around in tin baths?
They go downhill in tin baths.
Yeah.
Well, one of them does. Compo does.
Regularly, though.
Yeah, regularly. Well, what's wrong? So you wouldn't want to be sat on a lovely moorland in the Dales, even though it's not in the Dales, really, is it? I think it's on the outskirts of the Dales. Anyway... Who wouldn't want to be sat there on a lovely summer's day, pissed up on summer wine, watching Compo go down a hill in a tin bath?
But they don't, do they? They don't get drunk. They just sit around kind of supposedly enjoying their second childhood.
Yeah, their senility.
But it doesn't actually look that enjoyable. They just sit around moaning and then occasionally get in a tin bath.
Well, they don't really moan. I mean, Clegg worries a lot.
Hmm.
Admittedly, but I mean, Compo, all Compo was obsessed with was getting in Nora about his knickers. That never happened.
Why would he even want to do that?
Well, I can understand why. She was a fine-looking woman.
Well, everyone knows old men generally chase after schoolgirls, don't they?
They do, yeah. I mean, that's what I intend to do when I get to that age.
Yeah, me too.
Not like a paedophile.
No, not that young.
When they're street legal, obviously. Yeah,
street legal, obviously.
Street legal. But yeah, no, that's what it's the old man's entitlement to ogle after young girls. That's what they do.
Like that fellow who was always chasing Marina.
Howard.
Yeah, Howard.
He still is.
He had the right idea, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I watched an episode of Last of the Summer Wine not very long ago. It had Russ Abbott as the main character.
You're joking.
This is how far we've gone.
Good God.
Russ fucking Abbott. It had Russ. You won't believe this. If you've not watched it in a while, it has Russ Abbott, Bert Kwok, that Kato guy from the...
What, Bert Kwok?
Yeah, from the Pink Panther films, and Imhoff Thingy and Mildred.
George and Mildred.
George, off George and Mildred.
Good Lord.
Those are your Last of the Summer Winers now, and Clegg's been pushed to some sort of supporting role. What's that all about?
Well, he's very old, isn't he?
He is old, yeah. I mean, I bet Nick Park's fucking Whoa, he's counting the days until he can get another script out of the bugger. Quick, get that written. Get that Wallace and Gromit written quickly. Because you don't fucking know.
It's like Kermit, isn't it?
Kermit? Yeah, but Kermit went on and... it's Jim Henson Sunders, the voice for him now, doesn't he?
Mind you, they tried to bring in Compost Son, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, that didn't work. He's still in it, but he's in a very minor role now. Because the original idea was to bring in Compo's boy, and he'd be the new Compo. But unfortunately, he was shit at acting.
Yeah, I saw his first episode. It was disastrous.
Dire. So that didn't work. So now they've just got this cast of fools.
Well, but still, right. You would like to live there.
I'd love to live there. I'm not crossing that off my list. What's on your list?
Well, my first one is Threads.
What, you'd like to live in a post-nuclear Sheffield?
Yeah, as long as I had a special suit or some sort of superpowers where I could just go around looting and, you know, looking under people's beds and hiding and just basically running around a destroyed landscape, just sort of, you know, living life where there's no police and no authority.
Is this because, you know, you went to university here and didn't like it, so you'd like to see it as a destroyed wasteland?
I'd say that was about 25% of the reason.
Yeah?
Yeah, the other 75% is just the sheer fun of running around and looting things.
Wouldn't you prefer to live in a world that wasn't nuclear, thing, whatever, but one that was normal, but where you were invisible instead? Because you could still then do all the same things, but then you wouldn't be surrounded by horror. Or is it the horror you're looking for?
Well, can you think of a TV show where people go invisible?
There's that film with Kevin Bacon. Mind you, he turns into a rapist, doesn't he?
The Invisible Monkey movie.
The Invisible Monkey movie, yeah, exactly. But he turned... Yeah, I think, actually, to be fair, I think you would turn into a rapist if you were an invisible man. I think every man, even saintly men like Nelson Mandela or our Archbishop Desmond Tutu would be rapists if they were invisible men.
I'm trying to imagine Archbishop Desmond Tutu running around... naked and invisible.
Raping women.
What kind of mental processes would he go through? He's a good dancer.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what would happen. Yeah, he'd start out, oh, no, I'm invisible. This is brilliant. I can do lots of holy things, you know, but I'll do them invisibly and they'll think God did it. So more people will believe in God and everything will be spot on. And then about 10 minutes down the line, it was, oh, she's got a nice pair of knockers. And then that'll progress to the obvious. That's how it happened, and that would happen to Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, anybody. You name anybody who has an ounce of soul, they'd all turn into rapists.
Right.
So I think your idea... I mean, yeah, your idea's all right, but I think it's horrible that you'd end up living in a world full of dead bodies and melting people and strange aborted fetuses and stuff like that, just so you could look under some beds.
But you've got free access to all that 1970s pornography.
Yeah, I suppose so, but... Yeah, well, all right then, fair enough. Shall I do one of mine?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, I've put the truck out of Knight Rider.
The truck that the car comes out of?
Yeah, because they live in
there. You want to live in a truck?
I want to live in that truck, that specific truck, in the 1980s with Devon and... What was the girl's name?
I can't remember.
Was it Devon?
Could be.
Yeah, well, I'd live with them. And I wouldn't mind being the mechanic of Knight of Kit.
That's terrible. That's worse than mine.
I want to pay for me board by servicing Kit. Not in a sex way, but in a proper way, you know, as a mechanic.
Did you spend long thinking of that one?
No, I just wrote down the truck in Knight Rider and then moved on to Last of the Summer Wine Country. I gave it no thought whatsoever.
Because it would be shit living in a truck.
Why would it be shit living in a truck?
Because your furniture would move around constantly.
Well, I'm assuming if you're the mechanic of Kit, you get to sleep in the car at night.
You'd report to David Hasselhoff at his 80s peak.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
It'd be a big head.
He's a what?
He's a big head.
He's a big head, but he is very popular in Germany.
True, but he wasn't in Germany, was he? He was in America.
Right, he was in America, yeah, but even still, yeah, it would be brilliant. For a start off, your chairs would be screwed to the floor.
Right.
That's a given. I mean, surely they've solved the furniture problem in the bloody Knight Rider truck, haven't they? Mm. Yeah? You get to not only service, but talk to Kit, who always struck me as quite an amiable, you know, character, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's a nice enough fella. But what I want to know, actually, about the new rider is, where's the old Knight Rider gone? Has he been scrapped?
Hang on, are you saying Kit's a likeable fella?
Yeah, Kit's a likeable fella, but in car form.
He's a robot.
Yeah, he's a bit whiny, actually, isn't he, thinking about it? Well, so I don't like the way you're doing that, Michael. You know,
Kate the robot and Kit the robot.
Kit the robot, Kate the robot. Yeah, but what I'm saying is I want to fuck robots.
You are. That's basically what you're saying, cowboy whores.
I want to fuck robots. Do you like that? Should we move on to yours?
Yeah, I've put mine. I'm regretting it, though.
Why? What have you written?
I would like to live in the crime-ravaged Baltimore, where I would be a gunslinging... Gunslinging pirate who steals drugs from evil criminals in The Wire. Thinking about that,
yeah,
I'm not sure I'd fit in.
No, you wouldn't, because you're a middle class English man who used to live in Lincolnshire. You wouldn't fit
that.
In the crime riddled streets of Baltimore at all. You'd be killed. You'd be murdered within minutes.
I can't even operate a pellet gun thinking about it.
No, exactly. So, I mean, you'd roll up there, right, who wants to buy some drugs? Oh, I say, that's what you'd probably say. I say, would any of you fellows like to buy some drugs? And they go, fuck you, motherfucker, and blow your head off. That'd be the end of your fantasy.
More likely, I'd just call my dad and ask him to lend me some money for a deposit on a flat in the nice part of town.
Oh, yeah, that's an idea. Or you could just ring him and say, can you come and get me? I don't like it.
Yeah, that would probably happen. Yeah. But, you know, this is fictional. It's in my mind.
All right, OK. So in your mind, you'd be able to cope with the mean streets of Baltimore.
Yeah, so even though I can't operate a handgun or a rifle, I'd just walk around thumping people.
Right. Would you make friends with him off of 300?
No, because he's a copper and I'm an outlaw.
Right, OK. But wouldn't you want to be his friend, even though he's putting on an American accent?
Well, thinking about it, seeing as I am a pirate and I'm not one of the main druggy dealers, he probably would want to be my friend so he could get some inside info.
Exactly.
So, yeah, go on, he can be my pal.
So you'd be friends with him. Fair enough. Oh, all right, then. Well, I think that's a given, then, even though I personally believe you'll get murdered.
Yeah, but it's fictional.
All right, it's fictional. Fair enough. And talking of fictional, do you want one of mine?
Yeah, go on.
Right, I've written down, next door to Jim Davidson in Up the Elephant Around the Castle so I could keep him up with my noise pollution.
Is that a sitcom?
Yeah, it was a 1980s sitcom where Jim Davidson lived in a house in the Elephant and Castle.
Right.
And he used to come out of his door and go, he didn't go like that. That's me coughing. Excuse me. He'd come out of his door and he'd go, hello, I'm Jim Davison, Nick Nick Chalky, Nick Nick, whatever. And then something had happened. I really forget what it was. It was a dreadful show. But I mean, I think everybody can sort of agree that Jim Davison is a universal hate figure.
Did that exist?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And he talked to camera as well.
He came out of his door, hello, he'd pick up his milk bottles. And you go, hello, you know, oh, it's been a funny old day today, isn't it? I don't like black people, Nick, Nick, all that. And then something had happened. I can't really remember what happened, but I do specifically remember him coming out of his door and talking to the camera. And it was a genuine BBC sitcom.
What would your noise pollution take the form of?
Banging tunes.
What kind of tunes?
You know, that stuff that you hear through walls, you go, doof, doof. That shit. I forget. They used to call it rave in my day, but I imagine I'll be laughed at for calling it that now.
Well, it's a banging techno.
Yeah, is that the technical term, or have you just made the mistake of making yourself look like an old person because it's got a new name about 8 seconds ago?
No, I think that's a generic term for that kind of music,
right.
Just techno.
So even though I hate that music, I would still have... that's all I do in this fantasy land of mine. I'd keep Jim Davison awake at night.
With your banging techno.
Yeah, and he'd be there, I don't want to do my introduction about how I hate black people because he's been in next door, been keeping me awake all fucking night.
And he's white, so he can't complain about you.
And he's white, yeah, exactly, he's white. In fact, I'd be black. I'd be black and I'd be keeping him up all night with my noise pollution.
All right, if you're allowed to be black in Up the Elephant Around the Castle, can I be black in Baltimore?
Yeah, I suppose you can be black if you like.
Problem solved.
The thing is, you'd have to be black with a better... personality that you've got. I'm not saying you've got a bad personality, but I think you'd need to toughen up a bit, you know what I mean?
I'd probably have to lose the accent as well.
Yeah, you'd have to lose the accent. You'd have to speak like an American. And
the slight speech impediment as well.
And the slight speech impediment, obviously, you'd have to get rid of that. But you'd need to have a much badder attitude. Bad as in the Michael Jackson bad.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Well, no, because Michael Jackson kind of talks like that.
Admittedly, he does talk like that, but in his song, have you noticed in his songs, he's a lot deeper.
Well, give me an example.
Ben, the two of us. No, that's a bad example.
Yeah, that's when he was a little nipper.
What's that one where he's a monster?
Thriller.
Thriller, Thriller Night. That's what he sounds like.
He doesn't sound anything like that.
He does. Thriller, this is Thriller.
It's like close to midnight.
Here's Vincent Price.
No, yeah. I can see your point. He had a deeper voice in that, yeah.
He did. When he sings, he's got a lot deeper voice than that. Hello, I'm Michael Jackson. Now, he's not from Yorkshire, obviously.
Jesus. I can't come back to that, really.
No, well, should we move on then? Have you got one?
Yeah, I've put it down and I'm regretting it already.
Again? You're regretting it again?
Well, I regret my Little Mo and Honey one because that makes it sound like I like to abuse and manipulate women who aren't all there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You do. You want to abuse mentally ill women.
So my ideal location that I'm regretting is Porridge, which has come around again.
What, you'd like to live in prison?
Yeah.
It's all bumming.
I've put for a couple of weeks, perhaps.
Right. It's all drugs and bumming.
Yeah, but not in Porridge, is it? It's just lots of ex-character actors, you know, being funny.
I suppose, I mean, that's the one downfall of Porridge. Well, it's not a downfall, but it's certainly not realistic as Porridge, is it? Because there is no drugs and there's no bumming.
There's not even any swearing, you nerk.
Yeah, you nerk. Exactly, yeah. And I think the closest they come to substance abuse is when what's his name? Fletcher brews booze in his bedstead thing. Remember that?
Is it a distillery or moonshine?
Yeah. He's got a distillery which is set up inside his bunk bed.
But they do actually do that, you know.
Do they?
Yeah, they somehow manage to ferment just juice, I think. I saw it on some prison drama. They definitely do that.
Just juice?
Yeah, in a plastic bag.
Right. That's fast. It's amazing how inventive these people are when they get into prison. Perhaps if they'd had that entrepreneurial spirit, they wouldn't have gone there in the first place.
Exactly. And they come up with the most amazing escape schemes. They make shivs out of nothing.
Yeah. And put them in the outside world, they can do nothing but crime.
Exactly. What's wrong with them? They're the most intelligent people on the planet.
Probably on the planet, yeah. Except maybe those eggheads in Switzerland.
And Stephen Hawking.
And Professor Stephen Hawking, the android.
Did he die? Is he still alive?
No, he's not dead. He's still alive. He was told he was going to die in the 1960s. When he got that weird, you know, the robot disease thing that he's got. When he was diagnosed with that, he was told he was going to die within about 6 months. And here we are, all these years down. They were lying to him.
I thought he fell down the stairs or something recently.
No, he didn't. It was. I think it's motor neuron disease or something like that. He's got, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have motor neuron disease.
That's what he sounds like.
He doesn't sound like that. I know loads about science.
All that.
That sounds more like Michael Jackson.
That sounds like Michael Jackson.
No, I'm getting confused.
All right, should we move on? Or did we discuss your idea? No, Porridge, yeah. So you'd like to live in a prison getting bummed and taking drugs, but only for 2 weeks.
No, I wouldn't get bummed because there's no bumming and there's barely any substance abuse.
All right, fair enough. There's no bumming. So you'd make friends with Fletcher.
I'd play chess with David Jason.
Yeah,
I'd avoid
the old man.
I'd avoid Christopher Biggins.
Yeah, you won't want to talk to him. Would you get into a fight with the big black guy?
You didn't want to be messing with me, Fletch.
You don't want to mess with me, Fletch. It's as simple as that, Fletch. Like that. And I think he was the in-prison boxing champion or something like that, if I remember rightly.
What's his name? Fletch's roommate. What's his name?
Godber.
Godber. He was always training up for something, wasn't he?
He was. And I think it was... He might have been wanting to fight him, but I'm not rightly sure. What was his bloody name?
What, the Scotch chap?
The Scotch bloke, yeah.
No idea.
Fucking hell, I must have seen those shows. I've seen every bloody Porridge show about 4 million times.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten his name. And
have you ever seen the film?
Hey?
You ever seen the Porridge film?
I have, yeah. It's rubbish. It's about football, isn't it?
Yeah, it's football and escaping and that kind of caper.
Yeah. I mean, most films that have been made off of sitcoms are shit. I mean, The Likely Lads was okay. One of the Steptoe Sons was all right. Not the one where they go to Spain, inevitably, because it's the 70s. The fucking, what was it? Are You Being Served film was appalling. There was loads. They made loads. Dad's Army film's not even very good, and it's Dad's fucking Army. You think you can't go wrong with Dad's Army, but even they managed to bugger it up in film form. The idiots.
Have you got any more locations?
I have, yeah, right. I've got one here. Hiding in the attic of the house in the upper hand, making suspicious noises.
So why, you've gone back to noise pollution?
Yeah, but no, these are suspicious noises. Where they think the house could be haunted, or is it just the house settling, as houses do?
So you're trying to scare the eldest McGann.
The McGann. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he would be my main target, followed by the blonde who isn't Honor Blackman.
Yeah, the younger Blackman.
Yeah, she is a younger Blackman, isn't she? Anyway, her, I'd try and scare her, but primarily I'd be after the McGann.
Right.
I like to say publicly, I don't like the McGanns.
What, not a single one of them?
Not one of them. Not even the one in Withnail and I. I do not like the McGanns.
Do you like Withnail and I?
I do like Withnail and I, but I don't like Paul McGann in it.
That's strange.
It is weird, isn't it? I think it's a great film, is Withnail and I, undeniably, mainly because it's written by Bruce Robinson, who, you know, in my opinion, has been underused in this country because everybody's a fucking idiot. But anyway, I just don't like him. I don't like the McGanns. They made this fucking show where there were all Irish people in the potato famine in Ireland.
I remember that.
It starred all four McGanns. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, they're a bit like the Baldwins, aren't they?
They are, but they're a shit version of the Baldwins, and the Baldwins are shit anyway.
Yeah, they are, but I don't know. I think Paul McGann is spared that because he's actually a good actor. The other three are kind of riding on his coattails. Paul McGann's got good hair as well.
He was all right. He was all right as the monocled mutineer. I'll give him that. But I can't think of anything apart from Withnail and I that he's been in that I liked. Do you remember that Doctor Who thing he did?
That was terrible.
That was revolting.
One of the younger McGanns was in Emmerdale for a period.
Were they?
When I was a student, I would watch Emmerdale every day and every other soap and Countdown and everything on daytime TV, basically.
Yeah, I went through a period where I was mentally disabused of myself.
Yeah, and I think it's called depression, depression.
Oh, right, whatever. Well, whatever it was, I just lied on a sofa in my underpants. And I did the soap Countdown. Anything dreadful, you know. In fact, what was that other one? 15 to 1. I used to like that. I didn't like it.
What's his name? The man who
William G. Robinson.
He was the most grumpy man on television.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a bit scary. Actually, I didn't. Yeah, I was a bit worried by him, but then I was mentally unfortunate at the time.
Yeah,
so I could have just been scared of the television.
That period of time when watching really low-budget daytime TV is more important than washing your own genitals.
Yes, yeah, I mean, that's a stank.
Yeah, me
stank
too.
I am, surrounded by cider bottles. I basically lived in my own home like a tramp.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of my own, my 20s, basically.
Yeah, that was my 20s, mainly, yeah. Just almost as if I was camping in my own house. like a really dirty gypsy. No, I've got anything against gypsies, but just, you know, those gypsies...
You can't say that, you can't
whatever,
say that.
What's like a gypsy, but not... I know, that fella that was locked himself to a tree.
Swampy.
Him, yeah, that's how I lived.
Is that his name? Swampy?
Yeah, Swampy. Yeah, I live like him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we move on?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Is it you?
I've run out, but we can move on to another topic.
Well, I've just got one more.
Okay.
Which is, I'd live with Lovejoy, sharing Lovejoy's adventures.
Right.
Wouldn't you?
Do you know what? I've never made it through a whole edition of Lovejoy.
You're joking me. But I thought you were a Lovejoy fan.
Tinker gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Why does he give you the heebie-jeebies?
He's just got one of them faces.
What, Tinker? He was ace. What was wrong with Tinker?
He looks like a sort of unwell Charlie Drake.
He has got a very washed sort of... It's like his face has been boiled.
Yeah, burnt, definitely.
Yeah, it's that sort of strange translucency to his skin. I had a grandmother that was like that, you know.
What, like a mixture of Charlie Drake and Simon West?
She had this pigmentation thing where she lost all the pigment in her skin. And so therefore she was just white, like she was already dead.
Like an albino?
Yeah, and you could see all the veins through her. She was hideous. I mean,
albinos are hideous.
Well, no, obviously, but I mean, not only was she an awful human being, but this countenance that she had, she was just atrocious. She scared the shit out of you because she looked like a zombie.
Well, Tinker looks like a zombie, and that's why I can't watch Lovejoy.
Well, I think you're doing Lovejoy a disservice because Lovejoy is one of the greatest shows ever made.
Obviously, Ian McShane's Lovejoy is, well, if I was a lady, put it this way, I would allow him to sweep me off my feet.
I think most ladies would allow Lovejoy to sweep them off their feet, quite frankly. In the same way, I think most ladies would allow Bergerac to do the same thing.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, there are certain males you just know. Yeah, if I was up against him in a man contest, he'd win.
Yeah, John Nettles back in the day he'd wipe the floor with you.
The ladies loved John Nettles when he was Bergerac. I don't know if they still like him as Midsummer Murderers.
Midsummer Murders.
Murders. I don't know if they still like him as Midsummer Murders.
No, he's just not got the spunk, the leather jacket, or the brilliant guitar intro.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ba-dow, bow, right. Bow,
bow, ba-dow, bow.
Bow, ba-dow, bow.
The island of Jersey coming towards you. Ooh, Jersey.
And Charlie, what's his face? Charlie Slater?
Charlie Slater. Yeah, he'll be dead now.
That's Charlie Slater's EastEnders, isn't he?
What was his name? Charlie. It was Charlie, wasn't it?
Charlie Honeyford.
Was it Charlie Beefburger?
That was it. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, blind hell. A frog in your throat, eh?
Yeah. Let's move on.
Right, let's move. What are we talking about now? I haven't got any lists. I've got no more lists.
Right, so we went on a bit there. We didn't mean for this to be in two parts, but it's going to have to be a two-parter, so...
Nothing wrong with that.
It's just the name of the game when you're trying to make the most inept podcast in history.
I think we're doing well with that. I'm hoping that the next instalment's going to be even worse.
Yeah, and hopefully even more overlong, so that the second part has to be in two parts.
Yeah, I mean, what we're aiming for is that listeners eventually switch off.
Yeah,
I'm not listening to any more of that. That's what we want. That's what we're hoping for. So if you're listening to this bit, well done. You've done well. Because I'm assuming you'd have turned off ages ago by now.
Well, hopefully I'll put this bit out on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then the next part will be on Friday. So it won't be too much of a gap for you to not be listening.
Exactly, yes. So I suppose we'll say goodbye to ourselves now, shall we?
Okay, goodbye then, Napoleon. Bye.
Goodbye, Swine's Head. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Right, that's that then. Mothers.